Drive into summer savings at Burr Brothers Tire and Service with unbeatable discounts on all major tire brands like Goodyear, Bridgestone, Firestone, Pirelli, and more. Visit any Burr Brothers today because these summer tire deals are hot and won't last long. Burr Brothers Tire and Service. Complete auto care done better.
It's another edition of your Morning After podcast. Good Sunday morning. Scott Gerard, Hans Olsen, Lloyd Cole. We do it every Sunday morning where we look back on the previous games and look ahead to the upcoming weekend. But what another dominating weekend. A sweep across the state with the FBS teams. Utah gets a dominating win over UCLA 49-3. BYU, as expected, beats Idaho State. And Utah State picks up a big Mountain West Conference victory over Wyoming. So let's start with the University of Utah and Hans. You had the pre and post in this one. Utah dominates 49-3 and led 28-3 at halftime, adds on another three touchdowns. This U team just continues to roll and making a statement that they're not only just a Pac-12 championship caliber team, but perhaps a college football playoff caliber team.
Pre-game was amazing, man. You mentioned we had pre and post. Frank and I did it, and the whole day was just a blast. The VIP tent is amazing. Miller Lite does a great job with the setup. Little Caesars came out, served out piping hot pizzas to everybody, kept everybody warm. It was great, you guys. It was like 250 people packed in. You know, Utah fans, all kinds of excitement, playing some cornhole, great conversation, and it was just a lot of fun. These game days with UCLA Bruins at Rice-Eccles Stadium, Utah in contention, like these game days have become so much fun for Utah fans and really fun for the pre and the post game. So I wanted to get that out there that it really is amazing. And Kurt has really built a lot of fun things with the VIP tent that has really exploded into so many great things. But as far as the game is concerned, Scott, you mentioned it. They got the style points they needed. There were a lot of things that outside of this Utah game that helped them, with Baylor losing to Oklahoma and Minnesota losing to Iowa, and the style points that we talked about, the complete dominance. There are definitely areas that I'll show in film review that Utah has to clean up. I know that when they go against high-caliber quarterback play, they're going to have to clean some things up because UCLA had some open looks. But when they got stout in the red zone and they ran their base defense and they were forcing UCLA to make some decisions off option routes and they also ran some base run option, Utah was great, man. They were great in assignments like they've been all year, and basically stopped UCLA's run game. For they couldn't get over 50 yards in the run game and did exactly what they needed to do to this Bruins team.
Lloyd, you know, you had a funky feeling this week that Utah could be in trouble. And you said on Twitter last night, maybe it was indigestion. Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, I think it was. Now, you know what? They came out. There's always, Will Snowden talks about it all the time, that hey, these are college athletes, and they can come out and, you know, and show up at any moment. You never know that. You don't take anything lightly. And Coach Mack put it best. Coach Mack said, hey, they're not going to have a problem with them, trust me. But they got to do is come out and punch them in the mouth early, and they did. That's what they did. They punched them in the mouth early and suffocated them. And UCLA had no shot. Like, stat-wise, like, you look at it, and it was such a weird game. UCLA, they owned the time of possession. 30 minutes and 37 seconds to Utah's 29 minutes and 23 seconds. I mean, they own that. First down, UCLA had one less first down. They had 18. Utah had 19. yet the score was 49-3. Like, you look at the stats, if you look at the stats, you'd be like, oh, it looks like, you know, UCLA, other than, you know, the stats that matter, which is touchdowns and yards and yards. But it's Utah was so, I mean, Andy Ludwig, Tyler, that whole offense, Tyler Huntley, Zach Moss, all the receivers, they were so good. And I say Andy Ludwig mainly because his call plays, I mean, the off, keeping defenses off balance, it's hit an all time. It's like a new level. It's something that we've never seen from him. Everybody looks back to that, you know, that 2008 Utah team where, you know, Utah, they got through, but there was some head scratching moments with Andy Ludwig back in 2008 and the year before, you know, with that Utah team. But there's something has just come together with him and this offense, and they are, I mean, they're rolling. The balance of run, pass, trickeration, you know, end around, whatever it is, has defenses completely confused. And I'm telling you, I mean, like this Utah team, the style points, they got them style points.
You know, the interesting thing that really jumped out to me though too is that Kyle Whittingham said after the game, I'm not about style points. This isn't what we do. But he was very, very aware of what happened in that Washington State game. And he mentioned this in the post game where, you know, we kept putting our foot on the gas because we know that this is a team that's capable of making a big comeback like they did against Washington State in that late in the third and into the fourth quarter. But you know what? The way this defense is playing, there's a little bit of a difference, hands, between Washington State and Utah's defense. There was no way UCLA was ever going to come back in this game or even make this game even somewhat interesting.
It wasn't just Lloyd that had that feeling, by the way. I think a lot of Utah fans, it's been like an abusive relationship where Utah over the years has had these losses. Yeah. And it's been really hard for them. And had one earlier this year. But the thing that I kept going back to all week as people would start to panic a little bit, thinking, well, this UCLA team's won three games. The thing I kept going back to was what? Consistent defense.
Yep.
It's very hard to score on this defense, so you can choke people out. And you've got a consistent rushing offense with a fantastic running back that you can put the ball in his hands and rely on. So I had zero trepidation. I had zero fear of this Utah team being in a game with UCLA. And I have zero fear with Arizona and Colorado. Oregon is going to be a different test. I think, again, when they face high-level quarterback play, it's going to be really interesting to see if anybody can replicate what USC did. Now, I know everybody's going to be like, no, they can't. Well, you're probably right. They probably are going to tighten things up. Julian Blackman's not going to have the type of game that he had against USC. Morgan Scalley won't allow what happened to the scheme happen throughout the entirety of four quarters, like it did against USC. So I'm not nervous about that. But I'm not nervous about this Utah team because of their fundamental defense that they play and their fundamental offense that they have high-level capabilities in. And that was on display last night.
So just looking at the top 25 in hands, you mentioned a few things here. Minnesota loses to Iowa, and then Oklahoma loses. Alabama beats Mississippi State, but this is an interesting note, and this seems kind of callous to talk about, but the Tua injury is graphic, and you feel horrible for the kid, and you hope that he can go on to have a very successful NFL career, but he's done for the rest of the year. The NCAA selection committee in basketball is specifically told to consider injuries in their seeding of NCAA tournament teams. I mean, the injuries, if the kid gets hurt in the conference tournament, that is taken under considerable consideration when they're seeding teams into the NCAA tournament. I have to imagine that's the same for the college football playoff seeding as well. So I think a lot of us out there are very concerned about Alabama becoming that second team in the college football playoff. But if they don't have Tua, frankly, if I'm on the college football playoff committee, I don't put them as one of the top four teams in the country. And so, you know, you never want to take advantage of injuries and stuff like that. I think I think this is something that you have to consider if you're a Utah team or an Oregon team hoping to get one of those college football playoff spots, that Alabama loses their star quarterback. That's something that should be considered by this college football committee when they're putting together their top four teams in the country.
Yeah, and they will take that into consideration. And they also have to look at Alabama and say, who have they beat? You know, they've got Auburn at the end of the year, but people are all over Utah saying, well, who is Utah beat? Who is Utah beat? Well, and the SEC is good, but the Alabama schedule has not been extremely impressive. Now, if they can get past Auburn with a backup quarterback, maybe there's level for conversation. And then people are barking about Georgia, saying, well, a one-loss Georgia team is going to get it. Well, you aren't going to have a one-loss Georgia team because Georgia is going to play LSU in the SEC conference championship game, and they're going to be a two-loss team. And you can't tell me that a two-loss Georgia team is going to get in over a one-loss Pac-12 champion when a number five and a number six, or possibly a number four and a number five Oregon and Utah team play. So if this is working out for Utah, and I'm with you, Scotty, to think of a young man's injury being beneficial to Utah. It's a callous and a horrible thing. But as you pointed out, callous and horrible is exactly what they have to take into consideration when they're putting these top 25s together, including the top four that are going to play for a national championship at some point. You have to take that into consideration, regardless of if they beat Auburn or not. I also talked about this last night. There are only five in the 5 years of college football playoff. There's only five teams that have been non-conference champion teams. So a team that was selected to represent that was not a conference champion. There have only been five. Notre Dame was one of them. So really, there's only been four. I know Alabama was one time, and I can't think of the other three, but it doesn't happen that often. And I don't think you can put Alabama in there with a backup quarterback, even if they do beat Auburn and they're a one-loss Alabama team.
Yeah.
So I believe that the conversation is really starting to work out in the Pac-12 champions' favor. Now, I think Oregon would probably have more of a nod because of the national perception, and they've been there before, and they've got the money and they've got the flash and pizzazz. And so if they were to beat Utah, they would maybe be more of an automatic nod. But I still believe Utah has gained that national recognition and respect with the level of defense that they played. But there's going to be a very solid conversation that when number five and number six, and there's a potential for them to be number four and five. A lot of people are saying Oklahoma are going to jump them. But I don't believe that, because that Kansas State loss, Scotty and Lloyd, you can't tell me that Kansas State loss is not as ugly as that USC loss.
Oh, yeah. Right? So, no doubt.
So I'm looking at it and say there's no way Oklahoma jumps Oregon and Utah. There is good potential that Alabama falls, maybe in between the two. Maybe Oregon jumps Alabama, Alabama falls in between Utah, and maybe it separates it. So it's Oregon 5, Alabama 6. Utah stays 7, or maybe both jump them, but probably not. I don't think they're going to penalize Alabama after a win just because they lost their quarterback. There might not be a lot of movement there in the top 7, but still, you can't tell me at the end of the season there's a good chance that you've got either number 4 and 5 or 5 and 6, and those two square off to try to identify that fourth team in the playoff.
Yep.
I'm going to continue to argue it. And the only argument against mine is that, hey, Hance, you don't know your audience, which means that's the one fight against my argument is you just don't know who the selection committee is. And you don't know the history of it, and you don't take into account what they think and what they see. You might be right. That might be a conversation out there against me. But my conversation is this team, the way they are based in great defense and solid run, and then have high-level efficient, no-turnover quarterback play. It deserves a chance to see how great they can be.
Real quick, you bring up that point of how, you know, people saying, from whether the SEC or Big Ten, saying, well, who has Utah beaten? And then you say, well, who have they beaten? And it was kind of nice to watch, to have, it's nice when the game's not on the Pac-12, because you know the Pac-12 guys are going to be trumpeting Pac-12. Oh, they should be in the playoff. They should be in the playoff. Well, you had, I mean, Urban Meyer, they had the halftime show with Urban Meyer and Reggie Bush and Brady Quinn. And I can't remember who the main guy is on there, but, and they're talking, and Urban Meyer, they hear Urban Meyer, of course he has a connection to Utah, but they hear him trumpeting Utah and saying, hey, this team deserves a shot at the college football playoff, was awesome. But then you had somebody that had that exact same mindset at the very end of that halftime show say, yeah, but who are they beating? And that, like, that's essentially, you know, they didn't have any more time for Urban to go into anything with them or whatever. They went, you know, halftime show was over. But then at the end of the, at the end of the game, you had who, by the way, I can't remember who the color analyst was. He was terrible. They didn't know any of the guys' names. They called Francis Bernard. They called him Bernard Francis. They called Kyle Whittingham Ty Whittingham. It was so bad. But you had the play-by-play guy, and I think it was Tim. Was it Tim Brando? I think.
Yeah.
Might have been calling it.
Yeah, Tim Brando.
Yeah. So he's like, you know, he mentioned how and I think it was Brady Quinn that mentioned, you know, well, who have they beaten? So he brought that up at the end of the game, and he says, and Tim Brando says, yeah, well, who has Ohio State beaten? And who has Alabama beaten? Which they haven't beaten anybody yet.
Yeah.
Those conferences have the same week losses or same week wins that Utah has. You can only play who you're scheduled to play. And, you know, granted, do you want to have NIU on your schedule? Do you want to beef it up maybe a little bit more? Sure, yeah, you do. But look at some of the other cupcakes that these teams play. I mean, Alabama has next week, I want to say it was like Coastal Carolina or something like that. It's one of those types of teams. It's like,
it's Western,
they don't play any
Carolina.
Is that who it is? It's one of the Carolinas. It's I don't even know where the hell they're at if it didn't say Carolina in it. But
the Catamounts.
But they stop
look at,
it.
Look at the big brain
why
on Brad.
Why do you know so much about Western Carolina?
Coastal Carolina.
It's Western Carolina and it's the Catamounts.
Whatever. You know way too much. But my point is, you know what? Utah is in a great place. So there you go. Let's move on. Catamount.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's. The storyline was not BYU beating Idaho State. The storyline was that in apparently WWE fashion last night, Tom Homo rips his shirt off in the locker room and showing a shirt off underneath and saying, he's your coach, he's my coach. And the shirt says, extend Kalani. So does Kalani get his extension hands? What's going on here?
I love how that it's like Idaho State that put it over
there. Yeah, I was like, you know what, Kalani? We'll talk about this, but you have to beat Idaho State first.
Oh, man. I'm actually embarrassed for all the decision makers out there. I am. I'm embarrassed. And I wish I knew every one of them by name so I could call them out and be like, what are you doing? Why are you waiting till after Idaho State? Why couldn't it have been after USC? Why couldn't it have been after Boise State? Why couldn't it have been after Utah State? Why all of a sudden after Idaho State, did Tom Homo come in with well, let's extend Kalani now? I don't think this is all Tom Homo's fault. I don't think he's the one that should have all the egg on his face. I think there's probably a lot of decision makers up there that I wish would fess up and be like, yeah, you know what? I got to admit, I'm tired of seeing Kalani lose to Utah, and we wanted him to beat our in-state rival. And I admit, you know, we saw a really bad season 2 years ago, and I admit we probably should have extended it before they absolutely decimated Western Michigan. And I admit I'm a little bit, but we're not going to know those people's names, and I'm not going to put all the blame on Tom Homo. But those decision makers should be embarrassed because they let this drag on way too long, which I think has been detrimental in the recruiting process. It's been very hurtful and harmful for these coaches. because they sat there and coached in indecision, and they've coached in the unknown, and all they've done is tried to keep their heads to the heads down and continue to work. And they've done it through all of this where they feel zero support from this university. And then all of a sudden they beat Idaho State, and it's like, you know what? That's done it. Let's go in and let's show support. Why couldn't you have shown support on social media weeks for, you know, 3-4 weeks since some of these, like the Toledo and the South Florida thing, you have to talk about it. They were ugly losses. Kalani and his staff know that. But they put together some spectacular wins. They made some shifts on some play calling duties, and they've had some big wins. It's just, to me, it's just ridiculous. Idaho State, why not show him? Look at what Nebraska just did with Frost.
Yeah.
Frost has a significant losing record. He's in the second year of a 5-year contract, and they're like, oh, let's just shut everybody up. We're going to extend it to 2026. We're going to make him extremely wealthy, and we're going to show his support so that he feels like he's got backbone and he can go out recruiting and say, I'm going to be here until 2026. And Kalani's had none of that support.
Yep.
And to me, it's a letdown.
There's no doubt those losses to Toledo, South Florida, were ugly. They should not, even though they were going through, you know, quarterback changes, and, you know, they didn't have Zach Wilson, and they didn't have Jaren Hall at them, you know, getting a concussion. There's no doubt that, like, those were ugly losses, but whatever those the problems were that were in there, it's so obvious that he made changes. Whether it's getting a little bit more help from Aaron Roderick on the passing, you know, on some of the game calling or whatever, whatever it is, whatever the change has been, you know, whether it's Kalani take a little bit more of the defense. Whatever the changes has been, he's made great changes that have picked up wins against Boise State, a 14th ranked Boise State team, no less, and then against Utah State. He got two of the three rivals. Like, maybe you're not ready to give it to him after USC. But once you hit Boise State, you should probably get it done after Boise State, or at the very latest. You get your second of your third three rivals, and you get a win there, and you think, you know what? Then that's where you rip off your shirt and you say, extend Kalani. That's my guy. That's where you do it.
Oh, and by the way, guys, they haven't extended him.
Yeah, that's
so you're right. We have reports.
Well, and then the other thing,
you got a picture.
Yeah, the other thing is, even if Tom said, hey, Kalani, I'm going to offer you an extension. Okay, Kalani doesn't know what that is. What if he's saying, I'm going to add you, I'm going to give you 1 year? Like, well, wait a minute. You can't accept, you don't accept that. You know, so like,
no.
I don't know. Like, yeah, I don't think if you're in the extend Kalani camp, you're not out of the woods yet on this thing.
Nope. You better see 3+ years.
Yes. Yeah, you're exactly right. So it's an interesting development in this that until we see an email from Brett Pine giving, you know, and they won't announce money, but they should announce years in terms of the extension. Until we see that come across, I don't think anything's even close to being done yet.
Isn't that kind of weird that we haven't seen? Maybe there's something going to be done Monday. I don't know. How do you see this thing playing out? I mean, forecasted. I mean, how do you see this thing playing out? He wears the shirt and says and does that. How does this thing play out? When do you think, if he's going to be extended, when do you think there'll be an announcement?
Well, the bad thing is you've already waited way too long. Should have been done before the bowl game last year. In all reality, he should have had 2 years left this year and one more, and they should have tacked on 3 to give him a 5-year lead. So that every recruit that he's currently after sees that he's 5 years locked in, and they can say, oh, well, he's there for my 5 years. Because a lot of these guys are signing because they love Kalani, and a lot of guys aren't signing because they don't know if it's going to be Kalani or who it's going to be. So they've already burnt way too much time, Lloyd. They've already burnt too much time. So how soon should it have been? Well, it should have been last night. There should have been an announcement after the game. They should have had this all locked up. If Tom's going to wear the shirt and allow himself to be in a public setting. Well, I guess it's the locker room, but he knows that all these players have cameras.
Oh, yeah. It was going to get out. Yep.
He knew that this was going to get out. Well, you should have had the announcement ready to go in the post game. We've made a decision as a university to extend it. So, to Scotty's point, now you got to let the Sabbath go because it's BYU, but on Monday, there better be an announcement that backs up Tom Homo's shirt.
Yep. He should have had that contract stuffed in his pants and ripped that out of there. Here you go, Kalani.
Kalani's like, I don't want to touch it.
No, here, touch it. Take it.
You take this home with you. I don't.
Okay.
And then he... I don't even want to know where the pen's been.
And we'll tell you.
All right. Utah State gets a really impressive victory, and they did everything they could to make some mistakes down the stretch. But they do get the win against Wyoming 26-21. They may have found the linebacker to replace David Woodward, Eric Munoz. They've shuffled a bunch of guys in that spot, but Eric Munoz had 13 tackles, 2 interceptions, including the game-sealing interception to thwart the last drive of Wyoming. They got down to the Utah State 38-yard line before Munoz comes up with the interception. They beat Wyoming, who was a really, really, especially on the defensive side, a really good team. Utah State now bowl eligible for the 8th time in the last 9 years. And Gary Anderson's team has won 2 in a row, and it looked like things were falling apart after the Air Force and BYU game. This team has rallied. They go to Fresno and get a win. Then they beat Wyoming at home and set up a really big game against Boise State, because Hans, as bad as things have been, you know, not as bad, but as rough as things have been in stretches this season, you know, injuries against LSU, the back-to-back losses, this team is still 5-1 in conference play. And if they beat Boise, and this isn't a particularly great Boise State team, they'll clinch at least a, well, they won't clinch. Technically, they'll have to beat New Mexico the following week, but which they'll do, but they'll have at least a share of the division title. And if Air Force slips up somewhere along the way, they'll host a Mountain West Conference championship game.
Yeah, it cracks me up to think that their out-of-conference games were against the best team in the country right now in LSU. A good team in Wake Forest, who I've really come off that. I mean, they've had some letdown moments. Another loss over the weekend. A BYU team that had it all stacked against them, had lost consecutive years and absolutely couldn't lose again. A head coach that was fighting for his job. And that is a brutal non-conference schedule.
Yep.
And the way the LSU game was packed in between conference games, it's no wonder that this team has been beat up, bruised, battered, and tested. And it's also no wonder that they're doing well in conference play, because they've played some extreme level competition, and I think that somewhere in there they've had to find their confidence. And it was really nice to see a comeback win against Wyoming last night. That tells you a lot about this team's character.
Big storyline.
Defense.
Yeah, go ahead.
Good to see that defense not allow a passing touchdown. Got 3 interceptions. I mean, that was nice to see.
Wyoming had only turned the ball over 5 times on the season going into that game. They were great in protecting the football. Wow. Utah State forced 4 turnovers last night.
That's impressive.
The other thing that's going to be a storyline is Jordan Love. On a run where he fights to get a first down, takes a big hit. Utah State and Gary Anderson, I asked him specifically about it in the postgame show, did not disclose what the injury was, but he did not finish the game. Henry Columbia came in and finished the game for the Aggies. But just based on what it looked like after watching a bunch of reviews, seeing that they took his helmet away from him, I'm of the thought that he suffered a concussion. But that's, again, just me speculating on how it looked out there and how they treated him. The fact that he wasn't spending a lot of time in the old injury tent, the fact that they left him alone quite a bit on the sideline, there weren't a lot of trainers hovering around him. I don't know if it's a extensive injury. I don't know if it's a severe concussion. But I do know Jordan Love is going to fight like crazy, and that's one thing Gary Anderson did say, after the game that the kid's tough as nails and will do everything he can to get back out on the field against Boise State. I think there's probably a shot you'll see Jordan Love back on the field against Boise State in probably one of the biggest games we've seen in that stadium in a long, long time.
I know he's had a rough year, but they're going to need Jordan Love if they want a chance, yeah. I think.
Yeah. I want you to talk about this freshman that had a huge impact with a pick six last night, Scotty.
What would you like me to talk about, Hans?
Where he came from and the performance that he had.
Well, he's a junior. He's floated around a little bit, and he played. He's a JC transfer, then came in last year, came in last year, and then he Lloyd. I don't know if you heard what happened, but we just need to get this out of the way right now. What Hans is wanting me to do is talk about the post-game interview when Eric Munoz broke down and started to cry on the post-game show. He was emotional, and Hans didn't think I handled it particularly well.
Not well at
Scotty,
all.
Scotty, what did you do?
I didn't do anything.
He did not sympathize with him. Scotty, I've told you what I've been dealing with for like the last 2 days, so you know what I've been knees deep in.
Yeah, I know.
So I did not hear this. I did not hear it. So what did you do?
I didn't do anything. I thought I was fine. He was very emotional about a game.
Let me tell Lloyd what you did. So Lloyd, this kid just had the game of his life in a moment of his life. And he was thinking about it, and he's got these teammates that he's absolutely just, you know, his brotherhood, and he was thinking about his teammates, and somebody asked him about this teammate, and he goes, I'm going to get emotional. And then there was this pause, and Scotty goes, oh boy. Well, yeah, I guess after a win like this, no. I can see why somebody would get emotional. And then he started crying pretty hard. And I could just, Scotty backed out and was like, Kevin, you're going to have to handle this because I'm not going to work with this.
What?
And made it awkward. And then Kevin's like, well, I feel like I'm getting
emotional. Are you crying? Are you crying?
There's no crying in football. Like, you know how it is with Scotty.
He really backed out of the interview. Yeah, I know. He doesn't have a lot of emotions. Like, he doesn't let us see them anyway. He has them, I think, but they're just buried really deep.
All right.
We need to unlock that box. You backed out? You backed out of the interview and told Kevin he had to take it?
No, I did not. I thought I handled it particularly well. Like, you can't have dead air, right, Lloyd? Like, that's a big no-no in radio. Okay. So he's choking up.
Though, if you let the dead air, let it breathe a little bit and say, obviously, we have a very emotional Eric Munoz here, and let that dead air really breathe, that's actually kind of a beautiful thing.
No, I just, we put him in a bad spot. He was emotional. And so I said, these kind of games, you know, very physical can be emotional. And then he picked it up and it was fine. And so like, I didn't think it was, you go back and listen to the audio. I listened to it last night and I think I handled it very appropriately.
You didn't tell Kyle to edit it out, did you?
No.
Okay.
Maybe.
We need to listen back to the audio. We'll listen back to the audio.
Okay. All right.
Anyway, kid's a...
We'll have a ruling on Monday.
Kid's a JC guy, Hans. And then he committed, I believe, to New Mexico State. And then Matt Wells last year offered him a chance to come up, but did not give him a scholarship. So he is still, I believe, still technically a walk-on. And saw guys get opportunities ahead of him this year after the Woodward injury and waited. And those players didn't quite live up to what Justin Enna needed them to do. And so he got his first start yesterday and was just a heat-seeking missile out there. Great open field tackling, was where he needed to be. Had an interception that he was about a foot away from being a pick six. And then again, the closing interception. He was awesome and everywhere he needed to be at all stages of the game. And that's what they needed so desperately, was some increased play at the linebacker position, and they got it from him. And if he can continue to play like that, this defense changes dramatically.
I can see why he'd be emotional.
Okay.
Yeah, me too, man. I mean, a pick six and a comeback against Wyoming and, you know, the love he has for his teammates. And then you think about, like, all he's fought through as a JUCO player and having to be a walk-on, probably financial burdens on his family. And he sees this as an opportunity to finally get Grant in aid. And he also saw it as an opportunity to single-handedly really fight with this comeback against Wyoming to keep them in the Mount West Conference race. I would shed huge alligator tears over something like that.
Wait, what? Alligator tears? Like crocodile tears? That means it's fake. What are you talking about?
No, those are
I'm talking like...
just big tears, right?
Oh, okay. All right. Crocodile tears, I thought was like meaning kind of fake crying, but okay. I don't know.
I didn't say crocodile, I said alligator.
Okay. What's the difference? I mean, I know they're different, a little bit different species, but same difference, right?
I don't know. Anyway.
It's beautiful, though. That's a really beautiful thing, though.
Yeah, no, it's a great story. It's absolutely a great story, and I fully endorse and condone and am happy to talk to anybody who gets very emotional in a post-game interview.
I hope he brings, the coach brings him to the coaches' huddle on Thursday.
I would love to chat with him.
I think, because I feel like you owe him an apology.
Uh-oh. Everything okay back there, Hans?
Uh-oh. Oh, boy.
Mama's grumpy?
That means it's time to wrap it up.
Time, I gotta go.
Time to- All right.
Hey, you know what? This is on our own time, right? I mean,
we do this
Sunday morning.
It's a sacrifice of love is what we do here.
It is.
All right. That wraps it up. Another edition of your morning after podcast. Scott Gerard, Hansel's Lloyd Cole, right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.